Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, go to the New Testament book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4 is what we're going to look at this morning. Of course, this is one of Paul's most famous letters in the New Testament. His letter to the church here at Philippi. So I'm thankful that you're here today, and I pray that this will be a blessing to you. God used this message to bless me just a few weeks ago. So I just pray that it would be a blessing to you today. It's amazing the call that God's put on my life is just that He blesses me with things, and I hope that it might just bless you with it too. So I'm so thankful for God today. Philippians chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10. There's so many good verses in Philippians chapter number 4, particularly in chapter number 4. But we're going to read verse 10 through verse number 19 today, okay? This is Paul writing, and he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." And verse number 11 is kind of our text today. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And verse 13, of course, we can all quote it. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And verse 19 is a good one too, isn't it? "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Father, we do thank You for this Word. And God, I'm thankful that Your Word endures forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. So God, I just pray today that You would open our hearts, and I pray that this Word might fall on good ground. God, You know as well as I know that I'm incapable of doing this apart from You. So God, I pray that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit, and I pray that You would bless Your people today as You already have. And Lord, we thank You for all things. We'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You see, we're going to be talking today about the ups and downs of life. The ups and downs of life. Now I'm going to ask you a question before we get started today. What gets your blood pumping more? What gets your adrenaline rushing more? And what gets you more excited out of these two things? Riding a roller coaster or driving down I-85? Yeah. The easy answer there is riding a roller coaster, right? You say, well, why is that? Well, first of all, there ain't nothing exciting about going 2 hours in a straight line. And on top of that, you've got idiots all around you that don't know how to drive. Amen? There ain't nothing exciting about I-85. There ain't nothing exciting about going in a straight line. But can I tell you what makes a roller coaster real exciting? If sometimes on a roller coaster you'll be going 8 miles an hour straight up and you can't see nothing but sky. And the next moment you're going straight down at 65, 70 miles an hour. What makes a roller coaster exciting is it goes up and then it comes back down. Now some of you hate roller coasters and that's all right. But there ain't nothing that gets your adrenaline going better than being on top of a roller coaster knowing you're about to shoot straight down. Amen. And you know, Brother Johnny, if I've learned anything the past few years about walking with the Lord, it's this. The Christian life at times can be nothing less than a roller coaster. Because it can be filled with ups, and I'm thankful for those. But it can also, as you know, be filled with downs as well. You know, there are days when I feel like I'm on top of everything. There are days that I feel like I'm this close to the Lord. There are days where I feel like I could conquer the whole entire world. But can I tell you, I wake up the next morning and I feel like I'm all the way at the bottom. And I'm sitting there thinking, should I quit or not? Because nothing seems to be going right. Can I get an amen right there? Yeah, yeah. There are days where nothing seems to be going right. Am I right about that? And you know, when you talk about that, it made me feel a lot better when you study the Bible and you find their lives were like that too. Whom I believe to be the greatest prophet in the Old Testament was a man named Elijah. Elijah experienced the ups and downs of life just like you and I did. And as a matter of fact, it was all in one day. If you were to go to 1 Kings chapter number 18, you'll find that Elijah is at the top here. Because what Elijah does is he's standing around all of these false prophets and he's trying to prove who the real God is. And he says, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. So Elijah prays and he says, God, I want you to show these people who's God. Send down fire from heaven. And when Elijah said, send down fire, woof, fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. You want to talk about being on top of the world? Oh yeah. Elijah was up there that day. Before I move on, let me say this. Wouldn't it be nice to have that power sometimes? You see these people on TV. You know, there's some people walk up to you. What'd you say? Right? It'd be nice sometimes to have that power, send down fire from heaven. But anyway, let me get off that. That's another sermon. Elijah experienced the ups and downs of life all in one day. That was 1 Kings chapter 18. He's on top. If you were to flip over one page and go to chapter number 19, what you'll find is that very same Elijah, he is underneath a tree, down on his knees, saying, God, it's enough. Kill me. He said, God, I've had enough. If this is how it's going to be, just kill me. We know how that is, don't we? A lot of you know exactly where Elijah was that day, sitting under the tree saying, I've had enough. This is it. I'm done. That's because life is filled with ups and downs. And you know, when you think about that, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. Life is going to be filled with ups and downs. But you know what, Brother Danny? I'd rather be a Christian. Because even though being a Christian does not exempt me from life's ups and downs, you know what it does? It gives me a constant companion whether life is up or down. Because it doesn't matter whether you're on top of the mountain or in the valley, Jesus promised to always be with you. And I'd much rather be a Christian in this life than anything else in this world. We've all had days just like Elijah, where we wake up at 10 a.m. and man, everything's going good. You say it's going to be a good day, and then 4 p.m. comes. Boom! Everything just plummeted. All in one day. It ain't got to be 2 days. All in one day. It starts out up here, and then whoosh. There ain't nothing going right. That's because life is filled with ups and downs. And if you were to study your New Testament, particularly the book of Acts, you will find that the Apostle Paul found this principle to be true, probably more than anybody. That life was filled with ups and downs. One moment he was in Philippi and he's leading 20, 30, 40, 50 people to the Lord to be saved. And the next hour, he is getting beaten and thrown in jail. He was up here. And a few hours later, he was all the way down there. And here in his most famous letter, his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul is actually in one of those moments right now. Because when Paul is writing this letter, you need to realize he's not sitting in his comfortable chair at home. Paul is sitting in a Roman prison cell when he's writing this letter. He's down. He's down. But you know, I'm thankful today that in our text, Paul says, I've learned something. I've learned the secret of really life's ups and downs. And you know, Paul's not going to tell us the secret of never getting down because he didn't find that secret. What he found was how to live in the midst of life's ups and downs. And the secret is found in verse number 11. He says, church, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. That's the secret. He says, I have learned no matter what my circumstances are, whether they're up or whether they're down, I've learned a great lesson to be content no matter where I am. And church, I wish I could stand up here and tell you that your life is never going to get hard. But I'd be a liar. I wish I could tell you that the Christian life would always be a roller coaster where you're at the top every single day, but I'd be a liar. Life is going to be filled with those ups and those downs. But I can tell you the secret Paul learned, and that is you and I can find contentment whether life is up or whether life is down. And contentment is an absolutely amazing thing, and we're going to talk about that today. Because although today I can't tell you the secret of never getting down, I hadn't found it yet. I can tell you the secret of how to live when life gets you down. And I'm going to give you 2 points today. That is number one. In the midst of life's ups and downs, in all things be content. That's found in verses 10 through 12. Let me break it down for you. Paul, of course, you know, is a missionary. And a missionary is one who takes the gospel, evangelizes, and disciples people as their full-time job. And because they do that as their full-time job, they need friends, family, and particularly the body of Christ to step up and financially support them. That's what missionaries need. They need financial support. Paul needed that. Because unless they have that, they're not going to have food. They're not going to have shelter. They're not going to have clothes in order to take the gospel wherever they are. And Paul was a missionary. So he needed financial support as he was traveling around to take the gospel. And as we read this letter to the Philippians, it's apparent that the church at Philippi, they are a church that gave to Paul more than any other church gave to Paul. They gave him financial support more than any church gave to Paul. And that's what he's talking about in verse number 10. I want you to look at it. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me hath flourished or hath came through. Again, Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord because you have finally at last sent a gift to me. He says, but you were always careful. You always cared for me, but you lacked opportunity. He says, even though it took you a while to send the gift, that's not because you didn't care. It's because you just didn't have the opportunity to do it. And he says, because you have sent to me, I want you to know I'm rejoicing in the Lord over what you've given to me. Then he goes on in verse number 11, which is our text. And he wants them to know something. He says, now hold on. Not that I speak in respect of want. That means this. Paul wants them to know, I'm not rejoicing in the Lord solely because you gave to me. He says, because I have learned, whether you give to me or don't give to me, I'm going to be content. Whether you give to me or don't give to me, I have learned to be content with it. And he goes on in verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. That means this. He says, I figured out how to live when I have nothing, and I've also figured out how to live when I have everything. I'm content down here, and I'm content up here. He says, I have also learned, I know how to be full and to be hungry. Now, I hadn't learned that yet. If I'm hungry, I ain't content. All right? But Paul says, I have learned that if I'm hungry, I'm good with it for a while. Or if I'm full, I'm content with it. And he goes on to say, I know how to abound and to suffer need. That's an interesting one. He says, if I have everything that I need, or if I'm down here and I'm in need of something desperately, I'm content with it. You see, this is one of the most amazing passages in Philippians that speak of the Apostle Paul's faith. Because Paul just said in verses 10 through 12, he said, listen, in the ups and downs of life, I'm going to be content either way. Earlier in chapter 1, you know what he said? He said pretty much the same thing. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because at this moment, Paul is sitting in a prison cell. He has no idea whether they're going to say, go free, or whether they're going to come in and cut his head off and he's going to die. But you know what Paul said? He said, if I live, hallelujah. But if they walk in here today and they kill me, that's a bigger hallelujah because I'm going somewhere that's a whole lot better. He says, if I live, I'm proud of it. But if I die, woo! I'm even more proud of it. I'm content either way. It seems like right now you can't shake the Apostle Paul. Go ahead. Whatever comes my way, I'm content with it. I wish I could say that. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. We all need to memorize it. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. There's that word. Be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know, I'm going to be honest with you. The main reason most of us never find contentment is because we always want more than what we have. The main reason we don't find contentment is because we always want more than what we have. Do you know what that's called? Coveting. Thou shalt not covet. Constantly saying, I want more, God, than what you've given me. I want more. And immediately when I say that, in the nation that we live in, money is at the top of the list, right? We always want more of it. And what's interesting is the more we get, the more unsatisfied we are. There are plenty of rich people that can't find 1 ounce of happiness. Money will not fulfill your happiness. The Lord God Almighty will. When's the last time you said this? God, I may not have as much money as these people, but I want to thank you for the money you've given me. Because did you know the money that we have came from God? You say, oh, no, no, hold on, preacher. I work for my money. Who gave you the ability to work? Everything we have, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. That includes every single dollar in our wallet. Amen. Contentment is just being thankful for what you have. And I'll just go ahead and be honest with you, Clyde. I'm one of the world's worst at contentment. Every single week, there is one day out of the week that I get just totally frustrated. Every week, it doesn't matter what week it is, there is one day out of the week that I'm going to be frustrated. And you can ask Monica. Because I can come home and she'll see it on my face. That I'm just frustrated about something. And I'll tell you what I'm frustrated about. Because when I sit up here in my office, it irks me that I don't have as much knowledge of the Bible as I want to have. It gets all over me. Because when I study men like David Jeremiah and Charles Spurgeon and all these people, I study their commentaries and I'm like, how in the world did they get that out of that? Right? How did they know that? Because I'm reading it and I'm like, I don't even understand what this is saying. How did you get that out of that? And I'm so mad that I don't understand the way they understand. And it makes me frustrated that I can't put stuff together sometimes. But I was also sitting in my office this week and I believe the Holy Spirit came by and He gave me a nudge. He said, Justin, you're not supposed to know as much as David Jeremiah knows. Justin, you're not supposed to know as much as Charles Spurgeon knows. And he said, instead of being frustrated about what you don't have, why don't you be thankful about what you do have? Instead of being frustrated about the knowledge that I don't have, I said, God, I just want to thank you for the knowledge I do have. And that goes for everything. We must stop being frustrated about what we don't have and, man, start being thankful about what we do have. That goes for everything in life. Your job, if you're single, whatever. Be thankful right now for what God has given you. Contentment. Be content with such things as ye have. The Apostle Paul learned that lesson. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we can't learn this lesson just in a 30-minute sermon. This is a lesson that's learned out there in the experiences of life, because that's what Paul says. He said, I've learned it. He said, whether life is up or down, I am content either way. And you're looking at me this morning and saying, I hear you. That's good. I'm supposed to be content either way. The question is, how? I hear you. You hear me this morning. The Bible says, be content with such things as ye have. This is the easiest thing in the world for Justin to preach. But how? How are we to find contentment? I'm thankful Paul went on to tell us how. In one of the most famous verses in all the Bible, he says, the way I find contentment is because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul's not a superman. Paul was just like you, and he was just like me. The way Paul found contentment is the same way you and I have to, through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as long as I can remember, I have had that verse memorized, Johnny. I can't remember a time where I didn't memorize John 3:16 and Philippians 4:13. I always learned it at church, whether it's from my parents. I've always had that in my mind. And I'll be honest with you. I always thought Philippians 4:13 meant this. Jack, I played sports growing up. And I knew Philippians 4:13 always in the back of my mind. So when I got to middle school and high school and began to lift weights, I said, all right. I'm going to claim this promise right here. Throw 600 pounds on that bar. And I said, boys, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I found out that promise was not for that moment. This promise does not mean that I can get off the couch today and run 10 miles because Christ gives me the strength to do it. That's not what this means. You know, this verse is absolutely amazing. We all know it. But I found a newfound love this week for this verse because I realized the context of this verse. And it makes it so much more beautiful. Because Paul is not saying I can lift 500 pounds because Christ gives me the strength to do it. Paul is saying this, and I want you to listen. The way I find contentment in every circumstance of life, whether it's up or whether it's down, is because I find my strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all things I can do through His strength. The key word is all things. You ought to circle it in your Bible. That is the key word of verse 13. All things. Because Paul is saying, listen, church, when life is up, I can be content. Why? Because Christ gives me the strength to be content up here. But you know what's even better? He's saying when life is down, I can be content down here too. Because it is Christ who gives me the strength down here too. He said in 2 Corinthians, my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, when you're weak, that's just when you're strong. Because it is then Christ who is giving you the strength. And you're beginning to rely upon Him instead of you. Now, let's talk about this. Contentment is a word that's defined by the world. You look at it in the dictionary, you can ask some people out on the street or at your job tomorrow, how would you define contentment to me? They'd probably say something like this. Contentment is being in a place where there's no problems going on. Contentment is being in a place where your money's rolling in. Contentment is being in a place when your job situation is good. Contentment is being in a place where your family, everything with your family is good. Contentment is being in a place where your health is good. And if everything is going good with all those aspects of my life, that's where I find contentment. Can I tell you that's not biblical at all? Because the Bible tells us whether life is up here or down here, you can find contentment. Whether life is good or whether life is bad, you can find contentment. Because contentment isn't about being in a place where there's no problems. Contentment is about putting your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ despite your problems. Trusting Jesus despite what you're going through. And He can give you contentment even when you're way down at the bottom. And this is tough. Because I'll be dead honest with you this morning. You ain't going to hear this on TV. They won't tell you this. Sometimes your circumstances ain't going to get better. Sometimes your situation just is not going to get better. You've all had spouses that have health problems. And their health didn't get any better. You may have health problems, and it may not get any better. Down here, that is. Now, it will get better up there. But there are some problems that we go through that, man, it's just, quite honestly, that just won't get better, Ben. They're not going to get better down here. And the world says, well, in that case, I'll never be happy. Well, in that case, I'll never find peace. I'll never find contentment. But you know, I'm thankful today we serve a God who, in the midst of all those things, can give you contentment right where you are. Philippians 4, verse number 6 and 7, He didn't say, pray, and when I answer your prayer, I'll give you peace. He didn't say, pray, and when I change your circumstance, I'll give you peace. He said, pray, and I'll give you peace. Whether it changes or whether it doesn't, I can give you peace today. I don't know what your circumstances are today, but I can tell you, sometimes we're up here and sometimes we're down here. And today, this week, possibly this year, said I've been down here the whole year. The Bible gives you a promise. And a promise is to be claimed in the Word of God. That means you claim the promise. You say, this is mine. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things. Whether I'm up here or down here, Christ is infusing me with His strength in order not just to do it, but in order to do it with contentment. Because you trust in Him so much. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And this man that walked up here this morning and prayed for me, it's my grandpa. And if he were to stand up here and tell you his testimony, you would say, now hold on, why are you smiling? Because he's been through more stuff than you could ever even imagine. And you would say, you're smiling? You want to know why? Because he's found Philippians 4:13 to be the truth.
Amen.
He's found that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. You remember David who killed Goliath? Remember him? If he were to walk in here this morning, he would say, Justin, I want to add something to your sermon. He would say, I'm going to add this. He said, I've been young and I've been old and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. David said, there was a time where I was 15 years old and God was walking right beside me. And now I'm almost 70 years old and I can look back on my life and I can say, oh yeah, it got hard at times. But as I look back, I say there was a God that was walking right beside me the whole entire way. And He wants to say the same thing to you and me today. We've been young and we've been old, but I'm thankful although times get hard, life gets hard, there's a God who never leaves our side. The Holy Spirit lives within you, Jesus is walking beside you, and the Father is watching over you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I don't know where you're at today, whether you're up or whether you're down. You know what would be a good idea today? Is to say, God, I might be down here, but I love You. God, My circumstance may never change, but I trust You. It may never change, but God, I want You to know something this morning. I love You, and I trust You. And leave it right there. And say, no matter where life takes me, because can I tell you, it's going to take me and this woman down sometime. But we can make the decision. I'm going to trust God no matter if I'm up or whether I'm down. I have learned to be content. And my prayer this morning is that you and I would learn that as well. Why don't you come down here and tell God that no matter if life changes or not, I trust You and I love You. And I trust You that I can learn contentment no matter if it changes or not. If you would all stand to your feet. Father, I come to You this morning. And Lord, I want to pray for each and every person that just heard Your Word. God, You've pricked their heart. The Holy Spirit has spoken directly to them. And God, I pray that whatever they're going through today, whether they're in a valley, whether their circumstances are just bad right now and they never saw this coming, God, I pray that they'll know that through the Bible, through Your holy Word, that we can find joy, peace, and contentment right where we are. So God, I pray that Your people will claim Your promise that You've given just for us, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, thank You for this glorious promise that we can take with us to the grave, that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, have Your will and Your way in Jesus' name. Amen.